How do I tell them?
How do I tell them?
How do I pay the bills?
How do I pay the bills? I know what goes through your head when you're living with cancer. The questions, the fears, the need to know. How do I know? Because I'm living with cancer too. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. And we can help people like you, whatever you need to ask. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
All right, well, we're back with Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, part two of our recap of this Bermuda trip. Basically, Monica just found out that she will not be seeing her family, and she just was devastated, and everyone reassured her, and now they're headed back to the villa.
Yes. So now they are going to this like beach with a little chair set up, which, I mean, I don't know if they ever park cars on this beach, but it is one of their parking lot setups. You know how they always do like folding yes. chairs in a parking lot? It is that setup, but on a beautiful beach this time.
Yeah. You know, you're right. I said they went back to the villa, or I implied it. You're right. They went to this beach. Yes. They are most at ease when they're on folding chairs in an outdoor area.
I love it.
I mean, they're
like,
girls
are folding chair and a Cheeto, you know, they love it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they didn't have like a mountain of dirty snow, but it was close. I mean, well, meaning that like it wasn't close, but like it was almost just as good. It was a beautiful beach instead. So they're sitting down and they're going to eat some Bermuda fish sandwiches. And then they're popping champagne and everything. And Lisa's like, okay, guys, hey, we should play a game. And like, you know, I don't really even like games, but like, I think this would be like funny for me because I want to propose a game and then like not play by the rules of it. Okay, so we should play marry, fuck, kill with husbands or soft drinks. Okay, you guys want to do it? You guys want to do it?
So Auntie's like, I've never played that game. I've married my husband, but I haven't killed him, and I also haven't fucked him in a very long time. I'm Greek. And they're like, no, that's not how you play it, Andre. You just say who you'd want to marry, fuck, or kill. I don't understand this game. I've never heard of it before. Okay, come on, Angie. Let's roll with it, Angie. Okay.
So Monica's like, okay, I'm going to marry Justin, I'm going to fuck Seth, and I'm going to kill Sean, and I would fuck Sean and Seth. And, I'm sorry, I skipped Meredith. Sorry, Meredith's going, I'll start, okay? All three of the guys, all three marry, fucking kill? My husband. Hanging by a thread, available in wherever you hear podcasts.
So Angie's like, wait a minute, do we ask why or do we just go on with the game? And Monica's like, no, it's just for fun. Just go with it, Angie. So Whitney's like, I would marry John, I would fuck Sean, and I would call Seth. And but she doesn't really explain why. I want people to explain the murder. And whenever people say fuck, marry, kill, I don't feel like you have to explain fucking because, like, I don't know. We all fuck random people. Well, I don't know. We all fuck. I'm really going to this well a lot today. But we all.
We've all stuck our dick in a wall before we get run over by a bird scooter.
Well, we really don't have to explain, like, who we're fucking, right? And then, like, marrying, I guess that's self-explanatory. Like, I would marry them because they would be a good partner. But murder, I feel like you should have to explain the murder part. Like, I would murder, you know, Seth, because he's kind of creepy and because he like tries to motorboat cakes made out of my boobs or like in the shape of my boobs. Did that happen? That happened, right?
That did happen. Yeah. He like licked Whitney's cake nipple. So then Lisa's like, okay, well, I would marry Justin or Sean because I think they're both like funny and cool and stable. And then it cuts to Meredith and goes, that's implying that Seth is none of those things. And she goes, and I have to fuck John Barlow. Sorry, I can't fuck anyone else. And they're like, Lisa, that's not the game. Come on.
Yeah, but I can't even think of anybody else because I love fucking John. Okay, enough. enough with that. Okay.
She's like, I can't think of anyone. It has to be John Barlow. It has to be only John Barlow. Only John Barlow for the rest of my life. Okay, what about a celebrity? Idris Elba! Idris Elba! Idris Elba! Idris Elba! I choose Idris Elba. I choose him.
So then that's... I mean, wow. When she said that, I was like, Lisa and Idris? I can't really see that. Like, John, I can see because already they're fucking, but also there's something about when you use the same self-tanner as somebody else, it's just comfortable. You know what I mean? You both know what you're going to be smearing all over the furniture. Like, you're not going to feel self-conscious about it. But yeah, I was surprised. I wonder Lisa if he feels the same.
Elba. Idris. Lisa El Barlow. If Idris Elba watched Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I would have so much respect for him. Mm. I would love that.
I wonder if he does, just to like chill, you know? Okay, so then Heather's like, wow, Lisa, don't let John Barlow's body get cold before you jump on Idris. So now it's Angie's turn, and she's like, I would marry Justin, kill your ex, Monica, and then I would have sex with my own husband. And Heather's like, I just pick Seth for everything, and then I take all of his money.
I marry Baklava, fuck Spanakopita, and kill Moussaka. So I'm Greek. So then Lisa's like, hey, Angie, you want to go for a walk real quickly? Yeah. It's not strange at all. Yeah, let's go for a walk. So Lisa pulls Angie for a walk. We all know where this is going. And Lisa's like, yeah, wow, this sound is amazing. As amazing as I imagine caressing Idris Elba's skin would be. Ah! Okay, I have something to tell you. I love Idris Elba. I mean, something else beside that. It's been literally so hard for me to keep my mouth shut, but I wanted to tell you alone. I masturbated to a picture of Idris Elba last night. Oh, I can't stop myself. Oh my God, what's happened?
So basically, Monica talked to Meredith, and Meredith basically said that she thinks you're like literally in the Greek mafia.
Just drops it. And Angie doesn't really react at first. She's just kind of like, what? She goes, I? And she goes, yeah, yo. And I was like, you have to be fucking kidding me. And Angie goes, this is ridiculous. Like, I would own the mafia. That's cool, right? Wouldn't that be cool if I was in the Greek mafia? And she's like, yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, wait, though. There's more to it. So apparently, right before the trip, Monica got all these DMs, and there were all these documents about Sean and tax information saying you're part of the mafia. And I'm like, this is Meredith mailing you. This is what she did last year about the SEC documents with May. That's exactly what she did. Yeah, but Monica's also the one who told everybody that Sean was like fucking a bunch of randos in town. Like, how do you even know on this cast who to believe? Like, how do you even know when to be mad?
Also, by the way, if Angie K were in the Greek mafia, I think she'd have more than two pairs of sunglasses that she'd be trotting out, okay? So Angie is like...
I didn't know there was a Greek mafia. Like, I'm upset that I don't know. How do I not know that there's a Greek mafia? I mean, I'm not Greek, I'm Lebanese, but still, we share so much of the same foods. I figure someone would be like, oh, really? You think you guys get mafia. Pita bread? You don't get pita bread. They'd be like, get off my pita. I'm gonna pay for it.
Angie's just going in with a bat, baseball bat, you know.
Yeah. You don't get to claim Olympia Dukakis.
So Angie's like, this is what she does. She is constantly threatening or trying to threaten my family, my reputation, going and digging up shit on me. And if she wants to keep coming after me, she is making a lifetime commitment. I was like, well, that does not sound like something that came from the mafia whatsoever. Not at all.
Oh, yeah. Does she want to come with me? Then if she is going to come for me, she better plan on doing it without kneecaps. Like,
I'm going to make her an offer she can't refuse. Unlimited phyllo dough.
Is she coming for me again? You try to get out and they pull you back in. Like, oh,
God. Angie, no. And then there's like a 20-minute, like, uninterrupted shot of her walking around a nightclub. So she's like, Meredith is dismissing everything I've worked for, and I've fucking had it. I'm sick of her coming for my business. I'm sick of her coming for my family. It's like, enough is enough. If she wants to see gangster, I'm going to show her gangster. Tonight, she sleeps with the fish's opa.
She better hope she is not made of bread. And so Angie's like, that girl. Like, now she's getting really worked up. And she starts, like, waving her finger around and yelling on the beach. She goes, that girl, that is a phony baloney. What a fraud.
I'm like, yes. Phony baloney.
I love when they just start to read on the Salt Lake City. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to rhyme something with phony. And it's going to be baloney. Take that, B.
She is a phony baloney. Well, I mean, I have to say, I do think that there must be something to these rumors, because the amount of times they called each other phony baloney and Goodfellas, you know, when Ray Liotta was running away from the helicopter at the end of that movie and the FBI was saying, like, we have you surrounded, you phony baloney, put your hands up.
That's also a trick phrase, because baloney is phony. So I don't know. No one knows what baloney is.
So it's fake baloney, actually, like, organic meat.
It's the oxymoron of meats. It's an oxymoronic carne. Okay, so we go back to the house, and Heather is like calling Ashley, and she goes, oh my God, there's been so much drama, Ashley. I got into it with Monica, and she wanted to talk about your sex life. And I was like, oh, no, you don't, because that's a non-starter. Do not talk about my daughter's sex life. Like, oh, okay, I don't know that you really got into it. You just told her to shut up. But I like that she's going, like, Ashley's going to be like, oh my God, Mom, thank you so much for not talking about my sex life. Thank you.
She's like, Mom, can I get $100 more in my account, please? Want to go out tonight.
Because you send me more money, they've raised the price of condoms. So.
So Whitney is in her room reading Bad Mormon, and she's like, fun fact that might shock people is that I actually read books. I love true crime and books about spirituality and books about business. And my favorites are thrillers. And it seems like Heather's life is a combination of that. It's like, Whitney, you're reading the book perpendicularly. Okay. You're holding it like a calendar.
You are reading the back of a bologna packet.
You're just looking at your fitted sheet. It's not a book.
So Angie goes to Monica's room, and she's like, oh my God, let's go out onto the balcony, which I might hold you over if I feel the need to and don't get the answers I want. Okay, now here's the thing. I hate to bring this up on your birthday, but Lisa shared what you said this morning about what Meredith said about the Greek person here. Me, that is me. And Monica's like, yeah, okay. Just, yeah, okay. She goes, oh my God. Well, I've already gotten in trouble for repeating rumors that I've heard, so that better not be what's happening again.
Are you upset that I told Lisa?
No, I needed to hear it from the horse's mouth before I chopped it off and put it into a bed. Ha ha ha. There, that reference works here. So she goes, Monica's like,
listen, I did not tell Lisa. Okay, I did not tell Lisa this part, girl. But, like, something that, like, dawned on me after, like, I spoke to Lisa and, like, my wheel started turning, okay? I would never have known about this DM and have it, like, in my inbox, except for Meredith called me and was like, have you gotten any DMs, girl?
And I was like, no. And then she was like, I got one, so you must have gotten one. And then I was like, wait a minute, why would I have gotten anything? So I go and check.
And then Angie goes, oh, you know what I love? I love that little pita crumb she left for you. She's trying to get you to do her dirty work, Monica. That is what she is doing. That girl is baloney and not a real kind. It is a phony kind. Phony baloney.
Look at all these fish eating those pita crumbs.
So, that girl is a fake falafel.
She's going to sit back with her little cocktail and watch it all go down. And in the end, you look like the big mouth, sorry to curse, and you look like the troublemaker, sorry again.
Well, I do have a big mouth, just,
and that is fine, you know, you need to use that mouth for good, right, girl? And Monica's like,
well, here's the thing, I mean, she knows, so, I mean, listen, she knows I'm going to say it and come out with it, but, like, yeah, you know,
and I just wanted you to know about it. And Angie's like, well, I am grateful to you, because now I have the opportunity to address it, which... Why didn't you just go to Angie in the first place? I think Monica is kind of getting caught in the same thing where Meredith went to Monica because she wanted Monica to carry the information and Monica didn't carry the information. Instead, she passed it off, like you were saying.
Right.
And now the same thing is happening again where everybody's just passing it off, but it's still going to end up all being Monica's fault somehow.
Yep. So now it's later. Monica's FaceTiming with Bree.
Because she brought it
up. Monica's FaceTiming with Brie. And Monica's like, yeah, you know what? Like, Brie came out of the womb just like this old soul. I love, like, a newborn baby with still a placenta on it. Like, be like, is there a draft in here? Wah. So she basically says that.
The baby's, like, crying until you start playing Murder, She Wrote for it.
The baby's like, I just heard about this great recipe. You want to talk about it? So she's basically saying, you know, she's so chill and she understands our family dynamic and she sees all sides of it. And she's the only person I want to talk to, which I don't know. I always feel like it's really cringy when parents unload their personal shit onto their children. I feel like children shouldn't have to like be burdened with that. I feel like children should just be able to enjoy, you know, being a teenager. But whatever, every family's different. So she just tells
Brie is definitely the adult in this family, right? I mean, we can see that.
Yes.
Monica is like not the most emotionally stable. And Brie's like, oh my God. She's like, what are you doing right now? She's like, I'm in the carpool line picking up the kids. I'm like,
oh, okay. So let me talk about what a bitch my mom is.
You know? So she does. She does tell her that. She tells her, she says, I think Vovo. Yeah, I think Vovo got involved with the family and they completely ghosted me and they stopped responding to my texts or getting my calls. So then what was the text that you got in the car that set you off? I mean, I'm guessing it's just production, you know, saying like we officially can't film here. But the way that she set up in the beginning was she got a text saying you can't come here because of your mom or something. So I'm just pointing out that we still can't really follow what's happening here. But there is a huge plant behind her, so I would like to think that Linda feels like she has at least somebody to talk to in this scene.
And Bree's like, Mom, just know there's nothing you did, and anything they heard came from Vovo, and it shouldn't reflect on who you are, and I'm sorry because it's terrible. And Monica's just saying how, like, her daughters are so lucky to have a tribe of sisters, yada, yada, yada. So then everyone's dressing up for dinner, and... most of them are dressing up like pirates, but, you know, Lisa and Meredith are the holdouts. Meredith is doing her own interpretation, which, as some people online have said, looks more like fortune teller than pirate. And Lisa's
she's got like a turban thing going on, which is very funny. It's very Gloria Swanson in it's like a pirate Sunset Boulevard, which I like.
Yeah, she has a turban.
I'm close up, Mr. Bummel.
I didn't get smalls. There's the pictures that got big or something. So she's wearing a pirate shirt, a turban. Is that what she said? So the turban, she's wearing a turban. She's got a pirate shirt on, but she's also wearing a leather skirt. So it's a look.
But it's better than Lisa. Lisa's just, is this where she's wearing? What is she wearing? We didn't even talk about her crazy outfit before, her Versace jumpsuit to go. Her purple Versace jumpsuit. I know, it's crazy. So what is she? She's like, girl, I'm wearing hoops and a golden chain ball. That's what I'm wearing.
No, this is where she was wearing purple, I think. Yeah.
Oh, is this?
Like a jumpsuit.
No, I think
she was. That's what I remember.
That was the good jet ski. Oh. So Heather's like, oh my God, I think this one's like a hot pink thing. So Heather's like, maybe. You look like a wedge, but not the booty kind. Meredith, I don't know. And Meredith's like, it's perfect, shut up. So then Monica comes in full on pirate, you know, because this is Heather's down for it because it's her thing, but also new people are down for it because they come ready. Right. Like Angie and Monica are like, oh my God, best party city pirate. get-ups.
Well, Monica's actually, she's actually put like a little beard on, which is funny. She's actually drawn a little beard. And it's like, girl, you're going to be in the trailer for the season with a little beard on.
I love it.
Just know this. Just know this.
So then they get that back in that Sprinter van again. And Whitney's telling him, guys, my costume came with something funny, a G-string. I thought it was an eye patch. And I put it on to read this book.
Like, Whitney, that's a bar of soap.
Wow. It's really good. It's really thrilling.
I find that this book is a real, it's a real page turner. No, that's the actual eye patch that came with your costume. It's not a book.
It's all full circle. So then we go to the restaurant and they go down these dark stairs to kind of the beach. And it's kind of this cave thing in El Paso. Well, it's not in El Paso. It's in New Mexico, in Carlsbad, New Mexico, called Carlsbad Caverns. And you go through these caverns and they have all these, are they stalactites? Is that what they're called, Ben?
There's stalactites and stalagmites. One hangs from the roof, one comes up from the floor.
So cool. So they have that, and we used to go to it as kids. And they would give us a tour, and they would tell us that those are all made from bat poop that has just, like, calcified over the years or rockified over the years. And I just think it's so funny that they're all dressed in pirates to, like, literally go to batshit. The show is so fucking crazy. I just love it. It just it warms my heart. That's all.
I was not under the impression that those were from batshit. I thought it was that, like, water dripping from the rocks, you know, it's just a buildup of minerals over time, and that creates it. But I would not be surprised if there are some that are made from guano, because guano is a whole thing.
Bat guano has been sculpting caves in Brazil for thousands of years. I like that you know the name for guano. Due to the corrosive effect of their feces, bats have engineered larger caves in the iron-rich earth of Carajás National Forest in Brazil, creating more stalagmites and stalactites.
Wow. Well, you know what it is? I think it's all of the above, because in Wikipedia's page for stalagmite, it says they are due to the accumulation of material deposited on the floor from ceiling drippings. They are composed of calcium carbonate, but may consist of lava, mud, peat, pitch, sand, sinter, and amber rat, which is the crystallized urine of pack rats.
God.
Amber rat. Couldn't they have come up with a better name than amber rat? Amber. Well, it's, look at that crystallized rat urine. What do you want to call it? Amber rat?
I have a cousin named Amber that's a real bee.
Leanne Locken here reporting for the Department of Geology. I'd call that amber rat. As long as we're talking about corrections and whatever and funny. By the way, I assume that guano is included in that list of stuff. But the DMV, I said on Potomac, was Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. It's DC, Maryland, and Virginia. I'm sorry, I said Delaware. I mean, Delaware's a lovely place.
Well, you're going to have to do that all again on that podcast. And
I just wanted to get it out now.
It's not your first time. It's not my first time. Called to Delaware.
It's not.
But also, it just goes to show how much I listen, because I should have been like, no, I remember last time the comments corrected you.
And the thing is, like, I know it's DC, but I don't know why I don't know why I go to Delaware. I don't know where my mind goes that way.
I really don't know much of anything. I mean, just looking up this, are stalactites made from bat poop? That's what I wrote. And then I'm just, all these facts are like pouring over me. I'm never going to remember these again. Okay, here they are. What is mascara made out of? I mean, I'm guessing
bat poop.
Poop, right? And guess what? Does Doritos have guano? So at the end of the day, we cannot be 100% certain on what particles are in the air at these factories, but we do know they have a high health regulation by the FDA, and guano is not an active intentional ingredient in Doritos. So maybe there's accidental poop in Doritos, but nobody really knows. And guess what? That's from batremovalandprevention.com. So if you're going to sue somebody, sue them.
You know what? I'm going to sue Google, because I'm now looking at Google images of amber rat. And it's...
I'm going to look it up. Amber.
It's actually not so bad. It's just like Rocky. It's just such a strange concept.
Okay, so let's
give him such a nice name, Amber Rat. Amber Rat. Amber Rat.
Amber Rat.
Amber Rat. Amber Rat.
Back to season one of Summer House.
All right. Or just Sheena being like, so my best friend Amrat's going to come on to the show and we're going to like discuss why I'm the real victim in Scandal.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial. Okay, so let's go back. So now we're back at this restaurant, and Whitney can't walk in her stiletto heels. And she's like, clearly stilettos weren't invented back then. And then we meet the head waiter, Cosman. And I don't know, who cares? Like, they all sit down. They start talking about how great the menu is, but it's like a pre-selected menu. And Monica gives a speech, and she's like, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, never mind. No, it's not worth it. Are you sure? Amberette, keep going. Amberette alert. Keep going.
Oh, no. So Monica gives her speech, like, thanking everybody for coming and
buried beauty and all of that. I have an idea. Since I felt sex shamed earlier on the bus, when was the time last time everyone had sex?
You are not sex shamed, for Christ's sake.
I also like, by the way, in the middle of this, Angie trying to order a drink. She's like, I want that drink. What's that stormy drink called? dark and stormy Angie. I mean, I am concerned about what bubble Angie has been living in with Mary Fuck Kill and Dark and Stormy. Okay. Yeah, but Monica was not, she was not sex shamed. So Monica tells us,
I don't know if it's like the culture in Utah or what, but like talking about sex is like, how dare you?
I'm like, you were trying to get Heather to talk about her daughter's sex life on camera. Like, that's a reasonable boundary for a mother to draw.
They are like that on this show, though. They're like, what? So they have to start talking about their sex lives. And Whitney's like,
well, I had sex right before the airport and almost did last night, but my vibrator's dead. Ha ha ha.
And Lisa's like, oh, that's, is that a joke? I don't really understand. Who killed the vibrator? Are we murdering vibrators now?
It's like, well, actually, that was your book, Whitney. You've got to start figuring out what things are, okay? So she's like, I feel like I'm in like middle school or being pressured into saying like, when was the last time you kissed a boy? It's like, I'm like, just like, don't ask me. I'm already wearing hoop earrings. So Lisa says the night before, and Meredith says, well, I guess since Seth left town a day and a half before me, I guess day and a half before me would mean that I had sex a day and a half ago. So therein lies the truth. Thank you very much.
And Heather's like, I'm not answering that. She's,
come on, you don't like it when people refuse to play.
She's, but I did answer. I said, I'm not going to answer because you guys are all married. That's an unfair question. This is an unfair game. You all have spouses. What the hell are you talking about? This is where Monica's like, I thought it was bad Mormon. Now you can't even talk about sex outside of marriage. Oh my God, girl. I mean, if you're going to rebel, I'm going to have to show you how to do this right. I'm on my way. Okay, we're slutting it up.
Heather's basically like, I'm not getting any ass and I'm embarrassed about it. And you're making me feel bad because I'm the single girl. You guys all have someone you can get ass from, but I have no one to get ass from except for a guy who's like melting away in a hot tub somewhere. So
I was taking it as it's not unfair. It's not fair because you guys say that you're having sex and it looks normal. But if I say I'm having sex, I look like a slut because I'm not married. That's how I was taking it.
Oh, actually, it could be that. I just took it like this is like I'm going to make myself look bad because I haven't had sex in forever. And then you guys are going to hound me for it. But like I'm single. I don't have easy access to booty. That's how I took it. But actually, well, your interpretation really is also very viable.
It's just weird because normally Heather's thing on this show is like, oh my God, guys, I banged the guy from the Jen Shaw party. Do you remember? That was hot. I'm a bad Mormon. So she's kind of got that thing going on all the time. So it's weird that she's getting super prudish about this now. I think she's trying to get into a fight with Monica about asking about her daughter's sex life, but it's just not, I don't know, it's just not the wrong time. It's not the right time. You know what I'm trying to say. Okay, right. Good. Making this a 10-hour recap, sorry.
Shall I bring up more facts about Amberette? So then Heather is Like, she's basically like, I don't want to talk about sex with Monica because I have seen the way she discusses sex and it makes me very uncomfortable. And she goes, let's all be respectful to the fact that I am single and I'm not in a marriage. And it's not about sex shaming, but it's really shit that you would act like I'm ashamed to talk about it when I'm just trying to live my life and I'm the only single person here. And Monica's like,
and she says, live my life. She says, I'm just trying to live my life and not be exposed.
What does that mean?
Oh,
what does it mean?
I don't know what any of this stuff means.
And does it mean that she's having sex with somebody, but she doesn't want to talk about on camera and they know that? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out like what the offense is here because I still don't get it. And I also like when she goes, yeah, and how I've seen about Monica talk about sex. I don't like how she talks about it. And then it cuts to Monica going, okay, I fucked my brother-in-law for a year and a half.
But that's not talking about sex. That's just saying like sex was something that happened in this relationship. So then Heather's saying, well, Monica, you're married. And she's like, I'm literally going through a divorce and I would be divorced if the fucker would just sign the papers. And just because he hasn't signed the papers doesn't mean that I'm married. And she goes, so you think you're as single as I am? You think you're just a single lady putting balloons together for breakfast parties 3 times a year? Is that what you're trying to say?
It's so weird. And then Monica's like, yeah, if I wanted to fuck someone right now, first of all, Heather's too mad. I'm like, what is Heather mad about?
Too mad.
And Monica, this is so Salt Lake City, though. They're like, okay, we're at a dinner. We better fight. So now they just start getting mad about nothing. So Monica's like, well, if I wanted to fuck someone right now, I could fuck someone right now. And that's as single as it gets. So yeah, I'm single as you. Just because my man didn't sign the papers, you can't sit here and judge my relationship. Go ahead, judge her.
What are you people fucking talking about? She never said anything.
This is not a fight. This is not a good fight. And she's like, I'm not. I'm saying don't come at me saying you're a single as me when you're not. And Lisa goes, I respect how she feels about this. And Monica's like, no one says that we shouldn't. And Heather says, shut the fuck up. And then she goes, like Whitney said to me last night. So I just want to say this actually traces back to Whitney. This is Whitney's fault that I just said that. Just want to put that out there. That's the implication. Shut the fuck up. Which is a Whitney Rose quote, everyone. A Whitney Rose and her foul mouth.
In the middle of a cave made out of batshit. So Whitney's like,
you know what, guys? We should not play games anymore.
You know what? The smartest thing that Whitney's ever said. No more games, please.
Okay, so it's really awkward now. So Whitney's like,
the food's good at least.
So Angie's like, okay, well, I actually wanted to take The Heat, which is another mob movie, really, off of you two. So Meredith. And Meredith is like sipping her tea and smiling in her turban. She's like,
she's like, oh, she goes, well, you have yet again come for me. And Meredith goes, I don't know what you're referring to. Even though I look like I'm a fortune teller, I actually cannot read your mind on this one. Be quiet. I'm about to tell you. I'm just going to wet my whistle because it's kind of a lot of information. So let me have a swig of wine because why not? So Angie has her wine.
And it's like,
okay, all right, you tell me, you go right ahead, Angie.
I think they're, and Whitney's just smiling at Angie, like, oh my God. They're all like, oh God, Angie. Angie's still struggling with her first full-time season, you know? They're like, okay, let's support Angie, everybody. Angie's going to be mad now. So, Angie.
Let me have another swig of this, what do you call it? The tonic thing with the gin in it? Gin and tonic. Yes, that. Let me have some more of this.
So she goes, okay, you are accusing me of doing fraudulent things that I am in the Greek mafia. Tss, opa, tss. And Heather's like, wait, what? Angie in the Greek mafia? I grew up with Angie, and trust me, she's no Tony Soprano.
Where are you hearing this from? Are you getting DMs from some stranger? And Angie goes, Meredith, you have what employee? I have hundreds of people. I have a network of people, one could say, from the garbage people to the people who run the laundromat. I have hundreds and hundreds of people. And what you are doing is risking the livelihoods of my employees by spreading rumors that I'm in the fucking mafia.
I never said that. Wait, can a Greek person not be successful without being accused of this?
It's like, is that a thing? I've never heard of that. Like a Greek person thing? Like automatically being accused of being in the mafia. I don't know. Seems like a stretch.
Time to talk about stereotypes.
Has Bajay not suffered enough for my people?
They're like, you better. We're going to be on the shelf above Dannon, or you people are. You people are going to get it. Listen.
Next thing you're going to say is that Nia Vardalos has murdered people. It's just rude at this point. So, well, I have made no claims of anything, Angie. Oh, so this is all made up? Well, I have not made any claims. I have not done that whatsoever. I'm just sitting here in a turban, that's all.
I have. Now, this is where Meredith, like, it seems just completely clear that she's guilty, right? Because Meredith normally would be,
how dare you say that I would.
Like, normally it would be like head bobbing, yes. Shaking, going into hysterics, getting up and walking away.
And if you want to talk right. to me like that.
Like, that's normally what we would get. But Meredith is really like the cat that swallowed a canary. Is that what you say? She's like, I never.
Well, she's being very careful with her words. She has to be very calm so that way she can be careful with her words, because this is where her lawyer side comes out, and she's like, I have never had a conversation where I have said anything of that nature about you. So, like, if she can't get into a tizzy because she has to make sure, oh, I never said that. I said I never had this conversation about you. Did I have this conversation about Sean? Perhaps, but not about you.
Okay, so Monica's mouth is agape. And she's like,
are you kidding? That is bold-faced bullshit right here. We did have that conversation about her being in the Greek mafia.
And she goes, I did not.
Now, the way that... They, just going back to when Monica first brought this up last week, she said she was walking through like Old Town, where was it? Park City, like downtown Park City.
They were about Park like, City, and they were and they saying were just how this used to be run by the Greek mafia. Yeah,
and her joking that it's probably like Angie's family or something. I don't know how this has.
I got the impression that was the nature of the conversation, was like, oh, this is all run by the Greek mafia. And then they were like talking like, oh, maybe it was run by Angie's family. Like, it sounded just like a speculative, like, wouldn't that be funny? Or do you think it is? Or maybe it was jokey, but it did not sound like Meredith was saying, I heard that she's in the Greek mafia and this is what happened.
And it feels funky even standing up for Meredith, because to me, Meredith just looks completely guilty here. Even though I'm feeling like, no, this is Monica fucking bullshitting as usual, right? So I don't know. So Monica's like,
let's just own it. You know what else we heard thanks to some DMs sent to me on Instagram?
And Angie's like, I've heard. Like, you don't need to go into it all. She's like,
you owe 170,000 of the IRS.
And she goes, I do not do. Who is saying that? Her. Who is saying that? Who?
Why say it?
And then Angie's like, Monica said that after you called her and told her to look in her DMs, suddenly, after your conversation, some documents appeared from a fake account. Opa!
Man, you called me one night and you said, did you get a DM from so-and-so's account? And I got one, and I go and look, and lo and behold, there it is, plus also a message from my mother being a bitch to me, but that's a separate story. I don't know who this person is, but I know who everyone thinks it is.
You guys, right now, I'm like an organic Diet Coke. Suspicious. I'm very suspicious.
Meredith's like, well, it wasn't me. And Whitney says, uh-huh, because last year there were DMs going around about Lisa.
Okay, you're the girl who tried to pass off Jizz for Jazz, Whitney, okay? Like, yeah. I feel like Whitney doesn't get a vote right now. And Whitney's like,
yeah, and you're the one who brought it up with Meredith.
And Lisa goes, oh my God, this feels exactly the same. And Whitney's like,
yeah, it's pretty obvious you're doing this, Meredith, behind the scenes. And she goes, oh my God, I'm not doing it. I'm living my life.
I'm so guilty. She's so guilty. I'm so torn on this.
Yeah, so Meredith is like, at this point, with this group of women, the accusations aren't even surprising. I don't know what the issue is here. I don't know if it's jealousy. I don't know if it's hatred. I don't really know. But they have been incessantly coming after me for nothing. I'm just, you know, I'm a mom at home raising a toddler, and that's all there is to it.
So wait a minute. You've never heard of her claiming bankruptcy or her husband being the biggest bun for a hot dog assembly line or taking orders to give people cement baths by Hank Azaria?
She's like, oh my God, you know what? You need to Google me, bitch, because I do fucking millions of dollars in business. Millions. I will give you my social security number, my birthday, my mother's maiden name. Google me.
Fucking Monica's over there like,
do it. Do it. I've got my notes app open. Do it.
I know. So Lisa's like, Meredith, you're lying about this. You're sending her fucking DMs about Angie. And she's like, I don't even understand what a DM is. Is that like Dominican Republic? I don't understand. And Lisa's like, she's like, Meredith, you're done. We are done. I'm sick of this. I'm so done with you doing all this. Stop it. Like, you did it to Mary. You did it to Jen. You said before Jen even got arrested, she's going to have a RICO case, a racketeering case. Say it now, because I don't want DMs sent to Monica, Angie, Heather, and Whitney. Okay? You did it all. And I'm just like, okay.
But here we go again. Okay. So now they're accusing Meredith of doing the Jen Shaw stuff. This all, because remember, they were accusing Meredith of that. Like, Meredith called the FBI on Jen Shaw, as if that's how that works or whatever. So they're bringing this one back around. And now, putting it all together, you know, it's like, well, did Meredith? What is going on here? So
they're like, so mad, like, that Meredith may have contributed to outing Jen Shaw as a criminal. Like, how could you do that to Jen? Yeah. Like, what a terrible service Meredith did to all those old people.
Right. So then she's like, what's gonna come out next? Just tell me, because I would rather know than find out in DM sent to Monica and Heather and Whitney. And Monica's like, well, that's how I feel too. Even though Monica's the one bringing all this stuff out, just cracks me up. Boom. And Lisa's like, Meredith, I don't give a fuck, Meredith. You know what? I'm over this. Stop doing it, Meredith. Stop it. We all know it's you.
There's nothing to be over. I can do anything. I'm just here. And Lisa's like, okay, you know what? You want to dig up stuff on people? We'll all start doing it, and I will go. I will fucking go to the end.
I'm not doing anything. Look, I'm even pulling out my British accent to prove how not guilty I actually am right now.
So they're like putting their faces in a napkin. It's been a big week for putting your face in a napkin on Bravo. Vanita put her face behind a napkin on Southern Charm. Mm. Ashley put her face behind a paper plate on.
Oh, good memory on all these.
They're putting all of these together. So it's just like, wow, it's a big week for hiding behind plates and napkins.
It's a great week for the good people at Vanity Fair. And of course, by Vanity Fair, I mean the people who make the paper plates and stuff, not the magazine.
Just a Vanity Fair. They're like, we've got a big story. People are hiding their faces behind us. I'm like, oh, it's not Vanity Fair. It's the plates.
Isn't that the name of that? Isn't that the name of the plate brand? Vanity Fair? Because I always laugh every time I get them.
You know, I don't know. I don't really follow plates. It's called
Vanity Fair. I'm not going to look this one up, unlike stalactites.
Look it up. Golden Amber. So you know what? Why is Chris Angel up on my screen? Is he Greek? Because I put famous Greek celebrities. So yeah, I guess Chris Angel is Greek. Who knew?
Well, he's no Yanni.
That's for sure. And then Betty White, it says 10 celebrities you'd never guess are Greek. And then it has Betty White's picture. I'm not clicking that clickbait. You better move it, Betty. You're not getting me this time, Betty. Fucking A. Fucking Betty White trying to clickbait me again. Okay, so then Lisa's like, you know what? If you start digging stuff up on people, you want to do that? You want to start digging stuff up? Because I will go to the fucking end. I will do it till the fucking end with you. I'm loved. Okay, well, that sounds kind of like a threat that you're no stranger to digging things up either. And so Meredith is like, I'm not doing anything. In like a little kid voice. She is so guilty. And then my favorite sound effect. So Lisa's like, you know what? Crossman. Crossman, can I get some bread? That's his name, right? The waiter? Is it Crossman? Crossman! I need some bread. Bring it to me. Hurry. I need bread. I need bread. I need bread. I eat so much. I've talked about food a lot today, right, guys? Did everybody get that? Hey, Meredith, could you send everyone a DM talking about how much I eat? That'd be great. Put your powers to good use.
And then they show the waiter and his name that says Crossman. It's like crossed out because like it's not his name at all. She's like, Crossman, Crossman, can you come here? It's like, my name's not Crossman. But so then Lisa's like, you know what? Meredith, I feel like you look at Monica the way you used to look at Whitney and sent them to Monica and said Monica is a vehicle to getting it out there.
I mean, do you guys think this is what I do when I sit around all day long? Are you not aware of how long it takes to open up a little tin of caviar and podcast with Seth? I mean, come on, I have a very busy life and business.
Wendy's like, yes, because I did it all for you last year. So yeah, I know.
Oh, you did not. You hated Lisa too last year, and you guys were trying to bring her down over anything you could find, which was, yes, some of the SEC. But stop acting like you're so fucking innocent in all of this. You all do it. All of you do it.
I don't get how Meredith doesn't realize that we're, like, onto you. It, like, doesn't take Inspector Gadget to figure out what you're doing. She doesn't have superpowers. She can't make this go away. There's no invisibility cloak. You're guilty. Okay, a lot of things happening here. She's invoking Inspector Gadget and an invisibility cloak. Isn't that Harry Potter?
And Gadget!
her shoes pop open and spring her up. She, like, flies into the clouds.
Go, Brooksy, go.
I also like that that's the best inspector that Lisa could invoke in her confessional. Like, I think normally you say, you don't need Inspector Clouseau. You don't need, you know, Jack Reacher Poirot. Or something. Like, you go for, like, Poirot.
There's no Poirot.
Clouseau. Poirot.
That's one, too.
I don't know who Clouseau is. Wait, there's Clouseau and Poirot?
Yeah. Clouseau and Poirot.
Oh, God. I'm doing. I got.
Or with Clouseau, okay. A famous author. I think he's an inspector. Hold on, inspector.
There is Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You had me doubting myself. It's a 1968 film.
He's from the Pink Panther, though.
Still.
But Poirot is what I really meant. The point is, you're supposed to give like a very good detective, not Inspector Gadget.
Well, Inspector Gadget to Harry Potter. I mean, this is Lisa Barlow we're talking about. Okay. So
that's her high watermark for detectives. It's my gadget.
So then Lisa's like, you know what? I don't get how Meredith doesn't realize like we're onto y'all. Like, I mean, come on. I mean, I only deal in truth, Meredith. Like, if we're gonna rewrite history, I can't be part of that. I'm sorry. I can't be part of that. Like, I can't. Like, if one more DM shows up, Meredith, I will have my cybersecurity team and go the distance on.
You know, her cybersecurity team is Jack with those stupid bleach bangs. We all know it.
I think it's Mayor McChewie's in the early bird. I mean, like...
All of our mothers look at us like cybersecurity teams. We're like, Mom,
yeah.
How do you know where this came from?
Mom, this is called the from line.
It's like, yeah, I have a cybersecurity team that helps me when my Apple TV always breaks. Apple TV. It's like, those are your children. Children exist to help parents with Apple TVs, okay? It's
not yes, I am team. Totally the cybersecurity guy at my mom's house, 100%. Or my mom. I just like when moms phrase things like that. Like my mom, I think I've told you this, but my mom's newest thing, I think she's heard that when you're really mad at a business, you take it to the internet, like you go complain, and that's how you really get power. Like you say something on Twitter or something like that. So she's like, get me a tweet, get me a Twitter. And I'm like, why? I don't want you to have a Twitter. Please no. And then she's like, yeah, because guess what? People fuck with me, I'm taking it online. I'm taking it online. So now when she's in a restaurant and they forget her food, she goes, I'm taking this online. You watch. You watch. I'm going to get you online. Like, ooh, Rhonda's got a Twitter. Watch out, everybody.
Yeah. I also believe that children not only exist to help parents with Apple TV, they also exist to describe the difference repeatedly between email and DMs, or at one point in life, email and instant messages, or email and texts. That is an ongoing thing. My parents have actually, they figured out that they know text messaging and they know the difference between texting and emailing. But there was a very long time where the distinction was not necessarily clear.
Yeah. All parents.
So Whitney's like, wait a minute. Why the hell does Lisa have a cybersecurity guy? Do I need one of those? And Heather's like, I mean, she has six lawyers. I can only assume this is like Geek Squad and Armani. Yes.
John and I, we cross our T's and dot our I's. You not expect us to have someone who works in cybersecurity? Bitch, you've been warned.
Well, I love all this Russia sneaky... Say it again.
I'm sure Russia is trembling.
I just love like all
It's like, who would be this sneaky to send DMs besides Meredith? By the way, I have cybersecurity people because that's how John and I are. And six lawyers. Like, so far, you're the most offended and you are the fishiest out of all of these people with all of your fucking people that you pay for all of these clandestine operations that you've got going on.
Can we just like take this back at the house? I'm sick of arguing in a cave. I want to argue in a house. So Whitney's like, I think we just need to end it. Okay. This is a whole thing. It has to end. It's like, Whitney, why are you trying to cut into that book with a fork and knife? And so Lisa's like, she's like, we're friends and we shouldn't be hurting each other in any capacity.
So they get up to leave and Heather tells us, like, listen, Heather has a very sophisticated way of posturing. Like, she's very into documents. I mean, what can I tell you? So she's like, okay, but to think one of our friends has gone to the extent of creating a fake account to send fake DMs to another one of our friends to, about the, I mean, that's just like, it's a huge boondoggle.
A boondoggle of deceit. No, it's
not. Of deceit. Oh, I wrote receipt. I was like, what's a boondoggle of receipt? Like, hey, I want to return this boondoggle. Damn it.
I've got this receipt that seems to be encased in amberat. It's a huge boondoggle of deceit. And this would be this is very weird behavior. Yeah, it's standard housewives. Digging up shit.
It's standard housewives. I mean, I think they all do this. And this isn't really to excuse Meredith. I do think that Meredith is guilty on some level. I think she's guilty of like gossiping with Monica about it and being like, oh, really? Angie wants to fuck with us? Well, here's what we know about Angie. She's got these bankruptcies and all this. The thing with Monica is that Monica's just a wild card and she will sit there and talk about all this shit with you, but then turn it against you just for fun. She's like an agent of chaos, Monica. Like, Monica really doesn't care. Is she really friends with anybody? She hasn't made any real friendships. And I get that it's your first year, so why? I get that that would be hard. But she doesn't even seem to really have a plan except to just walk around dropping bombs. And I kind of love it.
Monica is wonderful on this show. She is a disaster. She is wonderful. I think Meredith definitely sent the DMs. I don't think that she was accusing Angie seriously of being in the mafia. And I don't. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why I do feel the need to defend Meredith. I think it's because the Greek thing, the Greek mafia thing, feels like a false accusation. So I'm like, now you just stop that. But definitely Meredith set up those DMs, like 100%.
Well, but the Greek mafia stuff wasn't even in the DMs. That was just like from a conversation walking through town. So I do believe the financial stuff that she'd be like, oh, yeah, and here's the documents. But I also believe that Monica would know how to do that because Monica has like 21 cases against her. Most of them, as we've talked about on this show, are from non-payment. And if you haven't listened to Bravo Docket, obviously go listen to they kind of break down what all these cases are. But Monica, you know, Monica's fishy. So I think Monica would 100% know how to go look up any of these people. No one's in I could do it. Like, we're not idiots. Anybody could go on and look up public records and documents on people. And so I don't think that that's really crazy. But I think that mixing it with, oh, she said you were a Greek mafia and also bankruptcy. You get her so mad at the mafia part that that's the only thing anyone's concentrating on when the grain of truth is like some bankruptcies and you're late on your taxes. I mean, if you've got businesses worth millions of dollars, 170 grand really isn't that much. It's like a missed estimated payment, you know, if you've got a multi-million dollar business. Taxes ain't cheap.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure more revelations are going to come out. It seems like next week Meredith gets, she loses her mind again, and she starts yelling again. This was a calm week for Meredith. Next week, she's going to be yelling again. So we're going to see what happens to activate her. But thanks everyone for being here for this big episode, this big recap. We will catch you on the next one. We got a lot of shows, a lot of stuff to recap. So just buckle in and we'll catch you on the next episode of Crappens. Bye everyone.
Hi.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.